Previously, we saw the mention of Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu 5 times. And now in the end, we see an address to all of mankind. Ya ayyuhannas, what should be our conduct with people? Previously, it was about dealing with a Muslim community, those who believed. What should be your conduct when someone is present and when someone is absent? And now, how mankind should deal with each other, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, if we live in a society, how one should live. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. Indeed, we created you for one male and one female. So those born out of male and female, who are they? Brothers and sisters. So we have a relation of humanity, whether if we are from a different nation, race, or tribe, even if of a different color, language, even then, we are all created from a single male and a single female. We are the children of a man and a woman. This ties all of mankind in one relation. وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ. And we made you into nations and tribes. If we see ourselves, different nations, Sindhi, Punjabi, or Pathan, or being from a certain caste. But why are we made into these groups? We were not made into groups to take pride over each other, or because of one's language. For example, to say, because we speak a certain language, we are better. If an Arabic person considers himself better than a Pakistani, or if a person of white race considers himself better than of a black race, or any other reason for feeling the pride over others. This is not why Allah made mankind into nations, not so they take pride and show off to others and consider others lowly, that we are from this tribe or this race. Rather, Allah made mankind into nations and tribes. لِتَعْرَفُوا, so you know each other. What does it matter what a person's name or race is? For example, if a woman wants to pride over her having a certain name, such as Fatima, they didn't become Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha by having that name. It's her recognition. So, Shauban is for a nation and a race. After that emerges smaller branches that are tribes. It doesn't say anywhere in the Quran that Allah made nations and tribes because one is better than the other, or so people of one tribe can show themselves to be better than people of another tribe. Where do we get this concept? We usually complain that there is racism in the West and get discriminated against, while the sad truth is there is extreme discrimination within the Muslims, those who attest to having faith and those who recite these ayahs. There is extreme racism in our communities. Saying this masjid is for the Arabic people or Pakistani people or for Bengali, we go far as not to help get a person get a job who is not from our tribe or speaks the same language. We exceed in our discrimination. And we do not limit just by language. We discriminate based on clan and family and choose not to marry outside a specific clan. We have not come out of this yet. How can we consider the rest of humanity as brotherhood with our thinking? Muslims' hearts are divided, even for each other. Today, Muslims have stooped to such extreme. They say that this person belongs to this sect or that sect, such as the Tablighi Jamaat or Bareilvi. We have further divided ourselves in this. There is so much sectarianism. We do not even tolerate a person of another sect in a masjid. This is what gives rise to violence and corruption. People of one clan or group do not want to marry a person of another clan or one who speaks a different language, or have prejudice against people of certain color or language. Well, this was only for diversity and to know one another. When there is difference in colors of skin color, languages, faces, this is diversity. This is Allah's world, where He created people of different colors and languages. And He made mankind into tribes so they can know one another. Otherwise, how would they have a recognition? Not for taking pride over each other, but to recognize only. Today, we have turned into ways to assume greatness over others. Everyone feels whatever ethnicity or tribe they belong to is the best, and all are under, not even equals. Also, people start taking pride in their lineage and talk about their forefathers. Rather, it is a decision of Allah regarding who is best. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a decision regarding who is best. Best is not someone from our tribe, or clan, or our family. It is not what tribe, clan, or nation they belong to. Rather, the best among you is one who is most pious, the one most God-fearing, and one who has God-consciousness, one who has a strong connection with Allah, and one who constantly remembers that his Allah is watching him, and he is under the watchful sight of Allah. That is the best person. The higher the piety, the taqwa, the fear of Allah, the more honorable the person becomes. Being from a specific lineage or tribe or being wealthy, having many sons, or having comforts of this world are not things of greatness of anyone. Greatness is in the piety of the person. Taqwa takes a person to the top. But what is our criteria? Being born to certain family or culture? What choice did we have in where we were to be born? Did we give an application to be born in a specific race or color? Some people's lives are spent in pride over their lineage, and they spend their life promoting their own. They overlook the words of Allah, how mu'min are, ikhwa, brothers of one another, and only consider those from their clan their own. When people refuse to marry into a certain type of people, thinking they are lesser, that is wrong, or avoiding interaction, or not being friendly with them because they consider them from a lesser group, that is wrong. We cannot discriminate with people based on clans. This happens in Hindus. As Muslims, we have adopted this prejudice. We should look within ourselves who have knowledge of taqwa. The Prophet ﷺ said, taqwa hahuna, taqwa hahuna, taqwa hahuna, pointing to his chest 3 times. And we cannot know how much taqwa or piety is in a person's heart. It is possible a very poor person who lives in a small village may have more taqwa than we ourselves, who are considered sophisticated, sitting in living rooms. We may not have any piety. We do not know, only Allah knows, as it is a condition of the heart, and only Allah sees the condition of the heart. Those we may consider respectable, we do not know what is their standing with Allah. The most honorable from you is one who fears Allah the most. After this, our standards to judge people should change. We see that everyone is worthy of respect, as we do not know what is in the hearts of people. We should check our own taqwa, how much is there, and how respectable we may be in the sight of Allah. When we study about questioning in the grave and giving account on the Day of Judgment, we do not learn or find any question regarding which tribe you belong to. And if you spoke such language or were from this race, come forward. Or if you are from this race, stay back. On the Day of Judgment, who will hold on to the reins of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's camel? Who will be ahead in front of him? Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was black. If the color and ancestry were reasons for pride, then Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu would not be holding the rein of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's ride and walking in front of him. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, I heard the voice of your footsteps ahead of me. The standards we have for nobility, are they correct standards? They are fake. Then how can we take pride over them? If we take pride, we have no value in the sight of Allah. These are called calls of ignorance. We should leave it. These are words of mushrik and Hindus, and we as Muslims should not be doing it. The Prophet ﷺ did not look at these and marry nor maintain ties or made it means of giving positions to companions. He did not use these criteria. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Indeed, Allah is all-knower and all-aware. He has knowledge of all matters and is aware. He knows what is hidden, and He knows who is better than others and who is not. He knows who is honorable and who is not. He has knowledge. He doesn't just look at the apparent, but is aware of the deep and hidden matters. وقالت الأعراب آمنا. The Arab said, we believe. Who were the Arab, the Bedouins of that time, who would move about? They said that we believe when they came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we learn, this surah was revealed at the time of Amal Wufud. So there were some Bedouin tribes who said, we are good, we have believed when others did not. We did not fight with you, O Prophet, when other tribes fought with you. You didn't need to come to us, we came to you ourselves. We are ones to believe, and our faith is good. You should value us. Amanna, we believed, saying our belief is so perfect. Qul, say, O Prophet, Lam tu'minu, you did not believe with iman. Walakin qulu aslamna, but say we accepted Islam now. Here we learn the difference between iman and Islam. If iman is mentioned alone, then Islam is included. And when Islam is mentioned, iman is included. But when they are mentioned together simultaneously, then iman is something else and Islam is something else. Then what is iman in this case? Iman is the condition of the heart. And what is Islam? It is the apparent actions. Such as, if asked about the pillars of Islam, what would we say? We would say it is the Shahada, Salah, fasting, Zakah, and Hajj. And these are apparent matters. Even in Shahada, we testify with our tongue. So these are Islam. But what is Iman? Iman is belief in Allah, His angels, the books, the prophets, the last day, and the destiny. This is in the heart and cannot be seen. Islam is the first step. Accepting obedience of Allah and the Prophet, peace be upon him, and surrendering oneself. Now they have just accepted Islam. Iman is at the higher level. As in Hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked him about Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. He asked him and questioned him about these three matters. So Islam is what we just mentioned. Iman is yaqeen, belief with firm conviction in Allah, His angels, the messengers, the books, the day of resurrection, and destiny. This is the higher next level. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So he said, and has not yet entered the iman in your heart. The iman has not entered in your heart as of yet. You can say you have accepted Islam, but not believed with iman. We hear many non-Muslims say we are Muslim, while the iman has not entered in their hearts. Similarly, many munafiq or hypocrites had accepted Islam, but they did not have iman in their hearts. If you live in an Islamic country, how will the government deal with the people? Looking at their Islam, iman only Allah knows about. So they will be dealt on the basis of their Islam. We have nothing to measure iman in a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not say we have brought iman or believed with conviction. Rather say have accepted Islam. Because iman and faith has not entered the hearts. Because if iman was in their hearts, they would not show it as a favor to the Prophet. وَإِن تُطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And if you continue to obey Allah and His Messenger. How does one obey Allah? By obeying what is in the Quran. And how does one obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? By obeying what is in the Hadith. Here we see the importance of following hadith, those who deny the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. How will they obey the Prophet then? Wherever Allah mentions obedience to him, he mentions obedience of the Prophet simultaneously. And if they obey Allah and his Prophet, they will get iman. Man thinks if iman has entered in the heart, then how will it enter? If you obey Allah and His Messenger, it will enter. لَا يَلِتْكُمْ مِنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا. Then Allah will not decrease in your efforts anything. If you keep on obeying after accepting Islam, then obedience will cause iman to enter the heart. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. They were the Bedouins, and they did not have much understanding. And they had just accepted Islam. So Allah tells them He is most forgiving, most merciful. And they were not dealt harshly. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Indeed, the believers are ones who believe in Allah and His Messenger. Some people say they believe in Allah, but not in the Prophet ﷺ, or don't consider him to be the last Prophet. Or say some other prophet came after him. No, have to believe in Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Then they didn't doubt. They were not a least bit shaky or in doubt. As in Shak and Mirya, there is a big doubt. And in Raib is a slight doubt and hesitation. And do not have even this much hesitation. وَجَاهَدُوا. And they strove utmost. بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. With their wealth and their lives. These are the ones with true iman. Jihad means utmost struggle, working very hard. So they remained firm in their belief and exhausted themselves in the way of Allah with their wealth and their lives. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ brought whatever they had to be used in the way of Allah. If their wealth, their time, their skills, or anything that was needed, they did not save anything from the way of Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمَ الصَّادِقُونَ. They are the truthful ones. Truthful in what? In their attesting to their faith. As Bedouins came and said, we believed, while they did not strive in the way of Allah yet. Can those who do not expend in the path of Allah, are they truthful? Attesting is easy, but showing with striving is necessary and harder, because Jannah is for those with iman. قُلْ أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ. Say, do you teach Allah about your deen? How much piety and faith is in your heart? Will you tell Allah, اللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. and Allah knows whatever that is in the heavens and whatever that is in the earth. He knows what is hidden in the heavens and the earth. The Bedouins were taught a lesson of humility, not to regard their believing as a favor, saying we believed and have so much faith. Do not show off by professing your believing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah An-Nisa, will people say they have become pure? Rather, Allah makes pure whom He wills. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يَزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Did you look at those who say, we are pure in heart and we are pious? We cannot say this. Are we telling Allah this? While Allah knows better how much faith is in our hearts. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And Allah is all aware with all things. Do not show as a favor. Rather, Allah has knowledge of everything. Don't say, I have so much iman or all that I do. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ. Allah is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do they regard it as a favor upon you? أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا. That they accepted Islam. قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ. Say, do not regard it as a favor upon me, your Islam. If you accepted Islam, you did it for yourself. This is only a mercy of Allah if anyone accepts Islam or gets an opportunity to do good. This is why when we do something good, the Prophet ﷺ taught us to say, Alhamdulillah الذي بنعمته متم الصالحات. Only gratitude is to Allah that I was able to complete this good work. Allah gave the ability and guided. Allah gives strength and intelligence and gives direction and opportunities to do the good. Many times opportunities are present, but we are unable to avail them. We cannot even get out of bed, even if we had originally intended to do the task, and we saw it and was in our ability, but due to the fever, we're unable to. So who gives us the ability to do good deeds? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should never show off as a favor of all the good that we do. This is for all of us. Because when we accomplish any good deeds, we get a sense of pride that I did this, and show off self-greatness to others, or ascribe the good deed to ourselves. Rather, we should expect reward from Allah and not show off or remind others of the favors. This is not from our own abilities. We are weak because even if we want to eat, we only do it by the ability given by Allah to put the morsel in our mouth and for it to get digested. So if any good was done by us, we should say Alhamdulillah, as if it's only done by the ability given to us by Allah. بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. Rather, this is a favor of Allah upon you that He guided you to the iman or faith. Why are you conferring it as a favor? Rather, this is a favor of Allah. إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are truthful in your faith, you would thank Allah to have been guided. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ غَيْبَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Indeed, Allah knows the unseen of the heavens and the earth. Would your faith remain hidden from Him? If you had iman, would Allah not know about it? If someone proclaims and shows off their iman, they have weak iman. Rather, we should be thankful to Allah to consider us worthy of being granted iman and faith, and stay humble. وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is all seer of whatever you do. When there is true iman, it will show in actions. Allah looks at the actions of the person. The inner iman or faith doesn't remain hidden. Its fruits can be visible in the person's actions. A person becomes inclined to doing good deeds when faith increases. Allah sees all the actions and the iman of everyone.
We will look at some ahadith regarding Ayah 13.
In Musnad Ahmad, it is mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that you are not superior over any white or black, but you will gain superiority based on taqwa or piety. Then in another hadith of Musnad Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a khutbah and then said, O people, your Lord is one. Listen, no Arab has superiority over a non-Arab, nor a non-Arab over an Arab, nor a white over black, nor any black over white. Superiority is only based on taqwa. Did I convey to you? The companion said, yes, you conveyed. And this has also reached us as well. Then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has taken away the habits of jahiliyyah, of finding faults in others and pride over ancestry. All are the children of Adam, and he was created from clay. A believer is a muttaqin, or a person who fears Allah, and a fajr, or one who transgresses, is one who speaks harshly. People should abstain from taking pride in their people. Similarly, there are many other narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where these matters of pride over one another are condemned. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prophesied in his life that four bad habits of people of his ummah would not abandon, which were the traits of the people of jahiliyyah, or the people at the time of ignorance, of which was feeling pride over the ancestry. As when these people went for Hajj, they would tell stories of their forefathers and take pride in them. So the four things people of this ummah would not leave. One is pride over lineage. Number two, putting down the lineage of others. Number three, seeking rain from stars, believing in fortune telling. Four, beating oneself over the death of someone. So these four things would not leave this ummah. Also, we learn that Muslims are brothers of one another. So because of being brothers, what are the rights of Muslims over other Muslims? When someone is in need, they should make an effort to fulfill his need. The middle level is to help them without their asking, and the highest level is to place their need more important than one's own. This is the higher rank in fulfilling needs of others. Some pious predecessors will look after or take care of the needs of the descendants of a deceased Muslim brother for 40 years. Second right of a Muslim upon another Muslim is by either keeping silent or speaking at other times. Adopting silence upon the other's faults and not talking about what they know about them in their presence and in their absence, and in speaking, not fighting and arguing with them. As we learn about reconciling, also keeping the secret matter secret when meeting with other Muslims, cannot ask where they are going, because perhaps they would not want to tell others. There are many questions people do not like being asked, yet we ask anyway. For example, asking someone their age, their salary, and other things about them, mentioning the fault of their children or other family members, because there is no person without fault in this world. What we learn from Ibn Mubarak is that a believer looks for excuses and gives benefit of doubt, and a munafiq or a hypocrite looks for mistakes. Another rank, higher rank, is to like for a Muslim brother or sister what he likes for himself. Not buying the same outfit as we bought for ourselves, rather treating them the way we want to be treated, and to speak in a good way, and staying in touch with a Muslim and helping them with a difficulty they might be facing, and showing love and happiness when seeing them. Also, calling them with loving names. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, there are three things that will make the love for Muslim brothers or sisters stronger.
and sincere. When you meet them, say salam. When in a gathering, make space for them to sit and call them by the most beautiful and loving names you know about them, and commend them if there is a matter to be commended about, and if do anything good, give thanks to them, and if want to do nasiha or give advice, do it privately in a good way, not showering with criticism. Nasiha or advice has sincerity. Also should make dua for them as making for oneself, whether they are alive or have passed away, as dua made in someone's absence is accepted. We learn about a companion, Abu Darda. He would make dua and supplicate for other companions by mentioning the name of each and every one, equaling to 70 or more. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal would supplicate for 6 people at time of suhoor, and even after a Muslim's death, showing love and care to their families. These are the rights of Muslims upon other Muslims. These are such habits that can make a Muslim society beautiful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to act upon these commands. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Please listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhan nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha waj'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. Inna akramakum 'indallahi atqakum. إن الله عليم خبير قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم وإن تطيعوا الله ورسوله لا يلتكم من أعمالكم شيئا إن الله غفور رحيم إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون قل أتعلمون الله بدينكم والله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض والله بكل شيء عليم يمنون عليك أن أسلموا قل لا تمنوا علي إسلامكم بل الله يمن عليكم أن هداكم للإيمان إن كنتم صادقين إن الله يعلم غيب السماوات والأرض والله بصير بما تعملون.